You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, Your Prayers Can Open Doors. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
During the past year, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and other major secular publications have caused quite a stir, not only in Christian circles, but also in the U.S. Congress. Editorials in these major news magazines have exposed the great persecution of Christians now taking place in countries such as Sudan, Pakistan, North Korea, Saudi Arabia, Cuba, Uzbekistan, and especially in China. Normally, it's only the small religious magazines and newsletters that cry out in an attempt to tell the horrific stories of those suffering for Christ. In recent months, however, and in an unusual move, the U.S. State Department released a devastating report. Titled Report on Religious Freedom, this news release detailed arrests, fines, jailings, and beatings of Christians by Chinese communist authorities for no other reason than that the innocent victims desire to acknowledge Christ and not the communist government as the head of the church. Now, let's be clear. This U.S. State Department report is not information on what happened 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. This bloody persecution of believers in Christ is taking place at this very moment. The July 22, 1997 U.S. State Department report also sharply criticized Chinese government authorities for violating its own constitution. And so then, as we consider what is happening today, the terrible persecution of Christians simply for their faith, we cannot avoid recalling that section of the Bible in the book of Revelation, which speaks directly of martyrs crying out for help. And when he broke the fifth seal, the Bible says, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, wilt thou refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? In recent months, especially in the United States, concerned Christians have heard the cries of modern-day martyrs. All too often, however, these same committed Christians, those who want to help stop the persecution, they don't know what to do. Where are they to turn? How can they help? And so today, if you are truly concerned about people who are suffering because of their religious beliefs, then I have news for you. This is good news from the Bible that you can help those who are now crying out. On the basis of God's Word, you will be surprised to learn about the power that God is offering you to make a difference in the lives of Christians, of those brothers and sisters who are now suffering even unto blood and death for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen now to the dramatic story of how Peter, one of Christ's disciples, who was imprisoned for his faith, was helped by the intercessions of his friends. The Bible explains that King Herod had arrested and imprisoned many members of the early church. Herod had James, the brother of John, murdered with a sword. And when Herod found that his action pleased the Jews, the Bible explains that Herod arrested Peter as well. Then, when he had locked Peter in prison, he ordered that no less than 4 platoons of soldiers were to guard him. But then the Lord intervened. Our gracious Heavenly Father prompted the followers of Jesus Christ to pray fervently and hourly for Peter's protection and his release. One night, Peter was asleep between 2 soldiers and chained with double chains. Guards were also ordered to maintain a strict watch in the doorway of the prison. This was the night that Herod planned to kill Peter. Suddenly, however, an angel of the Lord appeared. Light began to shine in Peter's jail cell. The angel tapped Peter on the side and said, Get up quickly. Peter's chains fell away from his hands, and then the angel said to him, Fasten your belt and put on your sandals. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me. Peter followed the angel out of the prison. He thought to himself, This is unreal. I must be having a vision. But there was no time to waste. Peter and the angel passed through the first and then the second guard points. Then they came to the iron gate that led into the city. This gate, the Bible explains, opened for them all on its own. Now they were out in the street and free, and suddenly the angel vanished from Peter's sight. At this point, Peter realized this was not a dream. He said to himself, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel to rescue me from the power of Herod and from all that the Jewish people are expecting." So Peter hurried quickly to the house of Mary, where many of his friends were gathered. These followers of Christ were praying for his release. Peter knocked at the door. A young maid called Rhoda answered it. But when she recognized Peter's voice, she was so excited that she forgot to open the door. She left Peter standing on the doorstep. And when she told those who were praying for Peter that he was at the door, they said, "You must be mad." But she insisted, "No, that was Peter standing there." Peter, the Bible explains, continued to stand at the door, knocking and knocking. And when they opened the door, and when they recognized Peter, they were simply amazed. Peter, however, quickly made a gesture to them to stop talking. Then he explained to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Go and tell this," Peter said, "to James and the other brothers." And so then today, if you have friends deeply concerned about fellow Christians imprisoned for their faith, tell your friends what happened to Peter and how prayer can make a difference. Christians prayed, and the prison doors were opened. This story of Peter's release is also a reminder for our modern age of the great power that God works through his children and through prayer. And so then, as we do everything physically possible to help suffering Christians, our first step must always be prayer. Supporting legislation designed to assist the suffering is surely helpful. Prayer, however, is the most powerful. We need to be reminded to daily and to fervently pray for all those persecuted for their faith. Following the collapse of the former Soviet Union, many Christians who now live comfortably in the West simply assumed that the persecution of Christians had come to an end. This is absolutely not true. Every day there are reports of Christians being beaten, Bibles burned, believers arrested, and even murdered for no other reason than that they simply refused to give up their faith in Jesus Christ. Committed Christians often lash out at the media saying, "Why don't they report more of what is happening in the world, especially regarding the persecution of people for their faith?" But the truth is this. Some newspapers have taken the extra step. They have gone the extra mile. In fact, they have spoken up for Christians while headquarters of major denominations have said absolutely nothing. For example, in June of 1996, the Baltimore Sun published a special edition exposing the atrocities committed by the Muslims against Christians in Sudan in North Africa. In that part of the world, it is a common occurrence for Christians to be sold into slavery. You can travel to North Africa today and see the evidence. There, healthy young African teenage boys and girls, torn from their homes, are available for sale in the marketplace. For $1,000, you can buy back one of these innocent teenagers. These children are part of the plunder taken when Islamic armies attack Christian villages. Most will never see freedom again, and many will be sold to Islamic slaveholders, who will then also force these children to give up their faith and to embrace Islam. When we realize how little you and I have concerned ourselves in the past months or years regarding the sufferings of others, especially those suffering and bleeding and dying for their faith, then we need to cry out to God for mercy and to say with the psalmist, "Be gracious unto me, O Lord, according to thy kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, O Lord, against thee only I have sinned, and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when thou dost judge. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from thy presence, and do not take thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit." As we consider those now suffering for their faith, we also see our own sin of indifference to their cry for help. the suffering, the blood, and the death of martyrs in 1997 is a sobering reminder of the bloody suffering and the death of the Lord Jesus. The innocent blood of Jesus, which ran down the crucifixion cross, has the power to cleanse you and me from the sin and the failure to pray for those in prison and those suffering for their faith. It is also the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, which enables us to stand up and to speak out against these hellish schemes of persecution. So today, with a repentant heart, let us plead with God that He overlook our sins and failures, to remember and to pray for the many Christians who are now suffering persecution. It is time for Christians and for church leaders to see this persecution, this suffering, and this martyrdom, not as events of the distant past, but as daily horrific occurrences of 1997 which need to be stopped. And so now is the time to act. Now is the time to use God's liberating power of prayer against the terrible forces of Satan. And so then, let's not just talk about what happened centuries and centuries ago. Enabled by the Spirit of God, let us ask our Lord to open our eyes and to become sensitive and aware of what is happening in 1997. Simply decrying the wickedness of the persecutors and the indifference of the Western church leaders will be of no value. Instead, we need to get on our knees and, with pleas empowered by the intercessory name of Jesus, we need to go boldly through the throne of God, asking Him to intervene today for the many thousands who are suffering for Christ. Christ's followers prayed for Peter. We read this in the Bible. Peter was delivered from his persecutors, and he was freed from his chains. There are thousands of Christians, my friend, at this very moment who are suffering painfully for their faith. They are crying out for help. Don't turn the other way. Pray. Yes, pray privately. Get your friends to pray. Get your church to pray. And as He graciously promises, God will surely answer your prayers, and He will strengthen, He will protect, and He will release those who are now suffering. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.